Oh, is this LD? Is it LD?
LD? Yeah, that is. I think that is long distance. We got on the line the guy that costs on all the classical music records, right?
Oh, man.
Let's put him on the radio.
Hello, sir.
Oh, good evening.
Okay, and, okay, sir, we're right in the middle of a different topic, but we were expecting your call, so if you would just please do the honor of introducing yourself to the Chris and Rob listening audience.
Well, perhaps I can best do it by, in this manner. Does that ring any bells with you?
Brahms. The Cleveland Symphony.
Yes. Yes, continue.
Wait, that's that Bruno Walter recording. I recognize that.
You're obviously familiar with my talents.
So you were the guy who coughs on all the classical music records.
I cough a cougher, yes, I cough.
What's your name, sir?
Raymond Littlehammer.
Raymond Littlehammer. You know, I knew that guys like Johnny Carson and David Letterman and Jay Leno, and they would pay a guy to come sit in the audience and laugh his ass off. But I never knew that these conductors were paying people to come sit in the audience to cough to give it the authentic feel.
The entire entire orchestra, they budget annually an amount to cover my particular talent. Yes. I've worked around the world. Tokyo, London, Singapore. I've coughed in all of those cities.
And how long have you been doing this, Mr. Littlehammer?
Oh, I would say since the late 1940s. I'm 77 years old now, and I don't cough as much. Of course, I live on royalties now. I don't cough, and they can digitize it at this particular. The technology has at one point there were just hundreds of us.
Well, is sampling affecting your business?
Please?
Is sampling affecting your business?
Yeah,
how much
digital
work
sampling has hurt the industry quite a bit, as you well know, because you lose that spontaneity. The unexpected cut. Now it's predictable. It's predictable, and all the coughs sound the same. We did file a suit a number of years ago, and we were unsuccessful. But at this point, the royalties are so good, and I just don't worry about it anymore. I cough for the grandchildren, you know.
You've coughed on many of the world's greatest recordings with some of the world's most fantastic artists.
Yes.
What are some of your memories of some of the finest recordings you've coughed on?
Well, I do remember one time, I think it was Shostakovich was in New York, and they had us in, a number of us coughers, and I was particularly well that week, and I had no upper respiratory infection. See, I spend most of the time with a cold. It's one of the things that you must have to be successful in the profession is an upper respiratory infection, you see. Well, I was particularly well, particularly healthy, and it just wasn't working. And Dmitri looked over and he says, "You fool!" He was a joker. He always started things out. He said, "You fool! Can't you cough?" Well, he brought that. We chuckled at that for a long time because basically I was so healthy. I was going. It didn't have that phlegmy sound that. You're music aficionados. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So you basically made your living by not wearing rubbers over your shoes.
And a hat. I never, never, ever wear a hat. I don't care how inclement the weather is. There were quite a number of us. No undergarments, no underwear whatsoever. Light socks, if any at all. No overshoes, no hats, no lining with our top coats at all.
Now, I understand there was a big feud started back in the late 60s or early 70s between you and Leonard J. Pigglesworth. And when the Rolling Stones were getting ready to do their Get Your Ya-Ya's Out album, they needed someone to scream, "Paint it black, you mothers." And you thought you had the gig. Leonard came in and stole it right out from under you. Have you patched it up?
Well,
I mean, you're
quite a debate. No, we still come to fisticuffs. If we see one another in the tea room or something like that, we'll charge across the room and I'll cough and he'll yell. And it's just a sight, you know. They've called the minions of the police in several times to break us up. No, it won't be the same. We consider him, frankly, I hope that your listeners won't take offense, a whore. He's a whore. he's a guttural whore. An effects whore, okay? Now, I hope you're listening and try to find me. See what you think there. I did that on the air. Okay, see what he thinks there. Remember, the occupation is not without its tribulations and dangers. Remember, in order to effect the most perfect cough, I had to smoke quite a bit. I smoked 5-6 packs of cigarettes a day for, I'm going to say, 45 years.
Can you give us a rundown of some of your greatest hits?
Well, yes. Now, remember, we don't go by artist or musician or orchestra or whatever. We go basically by the cough. Now, I would say through the 40s, I was basically what we call a tittering cougher. But basically, as we got into larger orchestras and sound and Dolby sound came in and so forth, we had to I mean, it actually had to sound like someone was in the audience with the flu. And I've done that all over the world, in London before crowned heads, New York, just some of the greatest opera.
You coughed before the Queen once, didn't you?
Yes, I did, in fact. In fact, they blamed a lot of the current strife. They say that they didn't carry the immune system for much of what we brought over to that country. And that's the reason why the royal family looks a lot like they do now. I mean, think of them. I mean, most of the members of the royal family look like a taxi cab coming at you with the doors open. Just think about Prince Charles. I mean, just think about him for a minute. And doesn't he look like a Ford Taurus? He really does, doesn't he? They can't hear us. They can't hear us.
I don't understand, though. Maybe some of the listeners would appreciate if you'd explain it to me and the listeners also.
I'm happy to.
Why do conductors, composers, and engineers want someone to cough on these classical music records?
Oh, my dear fellow, I thought you knew. No performances are recorded live. That's a dupe. That's a ruse. They're not recorded live. They get all the musicians, they get them in the recording studio, and they say, here we are at Carnegie Hall. Well, they're not at Carnegie Hall. They're at Jake's recording.
And they overdub one oboe at a time, right?
Yeah, well, they'll track it up. One oboe, yeah, one violin. They track it all up. And then, of course, they bring us in, and we'll add that sort of thing to it. Every once in a while, you'll hear a actually, that's not a member of the orchestra. It's not the conductor. It's one of us. It's the union, you know. We protect our positions. I mean, they say there's feather bedding and so forth, but all of those sounds that make it appear that it's live, we add that to the recording, to the richness of the listening experience, when in fact, it wasn't recorded live, not at all.
The applause is dubbed, too?
Correct.
I seem to recall reading in Stereo Fidelity magazine an article about you once that said that your relationship with the great late Leonard Bernstein was—he used to have you do other things other than cough.
Lenny, that's true. Yes.
On recordings.
I remember Lenny. We called him Lenny, of course. We knew him well. We washed his car, tended his garden. He had us do so many things when he was in charge, and we all liked him for it.
But weren't there particular recordings, like especially when it is more contemporary music, like Stravinsky or Varese or something, where he'd have you not only cough but sometimes sneeze? Pass gas or even rustle candy wrappers.
Well, I didn't necessarily pass gas myself. We had a fellow named Stinky Edelstein. He was a specialist in that area. He couldn't cough, couldn't laugh, couldn't giggle, but he could, as we say in the profession, toot upon command. Lord knows what his diet was, but basically I'm, you know, not to make out that I'm any more than I am. I'm a cougher. Just a cougher. I've been a cougher for years. I'll probably always remain a cougher. I see no reason to. My certified public accountant has told me that my royalties last year were something in excess of $1,700,000.
It's pretty good.
Let's say it's a hard struggle up the hill, but well, once you've arrived at the knoll, the journey is well worth it. Yes.
Well, Mr. Littlehammer, I mean, I can speak for a lot of people in the Chris and Rob listening audience. I'm kind of at a career crossroads, and coughing is a profession I looked at. My high school counselor mentioned it to me. The career planning and placement office at my college had a few articles about it, but it really didn't appeal to me. But now it sounds like a pretty good gig. How do you go about breaking into the profession of being a cougher?
You start smoking.
Okay.
Camels, pell-mell, they don't make, I don't think they, They make Chesterfield. If you can get a good Ritz cigarette like that, start maybe a pack or two a day, three, get up to four packs a day, drop me a line, we'll chat.
So then would you start, like, going to Carnegie Hall and coughing and, like, kind of auditioning during the concerts?
No, first you join the union. You know, you've got SAG, the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
We also have SAG, the Smoking Actors Guild. That's a separate guild. People often confuse the two, but they'll be talking about SAG or SAG, but it's rather the Smoking Actors Guild. Quite a number of them. And it's a clique. I mean, you have to crack the clique, that's for sure. But once you get in it, they'll say, okay, you're going to New Delhi. You're going to Sydney. You're going to Perth. You're going to Rio. And they'll require some coughing in one of those cities. And really, we're the only ones that know how to do it. I mean, foreign people, not to derogate them in any way, they just don't know how to cough. We really, really know how to cough in this country. And furthermore, our coughs project on tape. I don't care if it's a mono, stereo, Dolby. The good old phlegmatic American cough records well. Well, it has character. I think it goes back to the first Englishman setting foot on the Plymouth Rock and catching that immediate upper respiratory infection. I think that's what does it.
Well, thank you very much for calling our program tonight, Mr. Littlehammer.
Yes, they're here for me in the sanitarium, so I think I have to go back into the iron lungs.
Before we let you go, could you give us maybe a couple of recommended recordings we could go listen to your fine work?
Well, yes, I think there's a recording of Wagner. I think it's Wagner, and
you like that big orchestral music and big operas more than you like coughing during chamber music, don't you?
Let's put it this way. Pays a lot better than if you catch my drift.
You really get to show off during those big bombastic pieces.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh. They pause, we just hack.
Is that the theme of the Smokers Actor Guild? They pause, we hack?
They pause, we hack away, yes.
That's like on your letterhead and everything?
We're in there for just as big a chair, just as big a chunk as the percussionist.
Okay, Mr. Littlehammer, we're going to, perhaps you could cough over this piece. Go.
Kind of a drag.